I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning, those of you who are here physically and those of you who are viewing us online. I am Nayaswami Maria, and this is Nayaswami Ananta, and we're glad that you can all be here with us today. I'm going to read from Rays of the One Light, and this is parallel passages from the Bible and the Bhagavad Gita. And this is the reading for Palm Sunday. It's entitled, Who is this Son of Man? Truth is one and eternal. Realize oneness with it in your deathless self within. The following commentary is based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. On Palm Sunday, the throng joyfully acclaimed Jesus Christ as he entered Jerusalem, casting palm fronds before him and singing, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord bless the King of Israel. Jesus Christ had told the people, the Son of Man must be lifted up. His reference, so we are told, was to the mode of his impending crucifixion. Some persons on that occasion had asked, Who is this Son of Man? Was Jesus a human being merely? Those who, on Palm Sunday, called him king, little realized the actual nature of his kingdom. He was far more than what they imagined. Yes, of course, he ate, drank, walked, slept, and talked like others. His consciousness, however, was centered in infinity. Yes, again, he laughed like others, but his laughter expressed divine joy, not mere merriment. Again, he wept like them, but never with human grief. The tears he shed were for the sufferings of unenlightened human beings. Never were they shed in self-pity. Jesus Christ was wakeful in God. Most people, by contrast, are asleep spiritually. How strange to reflect that less than a week from that entry into Jerusalem, so joyfully acclaimed, he would be arrested, condemned, and crucified. Such is the bittersweetness of human existence. Smiles of welcome one day, insults, even persecution the next. How few realize that Christ's suffering would not be for himself, but for people's ignorance, for those who had not yet understood the deeper reality that dwelt also in them. Everyone is born, trailing clouds of glory, as the poet Wordsworth put it. Even the meanest beggar has lived a story, or will eventually have lived it, more magnificent than the greatest epic ever written. In the Bhagavad Gita, this dichotomy between the Son of Man and the inner Son of God is beautifully described. Sri Krishna, representing God in human form, reveals his true nature in infinity. In the 11th chapter of that great scripture, his chief disciple Arjuna exclaims, O infinite light, thy radiance spreading o'er the universe shines into the very darkest abyss. Thy voice overwhelms the roar of cosmic cataclysms. Lo, the myriad stars are thy diadem. Thy scepter radiates power everywhere. O immortal Brahman, Lord of all, again and again at thy feet of infinity, I lie in prostration before thee. Thus, through Holy Scripture, God has spoken to mankind. Om. Om.
I'd also like to welcome you all. I'd like to thank the choir for singing these two songs, and we'll talk about that, but the juxtaposition of the sorrow in the first song and the intense joy of the happy multitude is really what Palm Sunday's about. I'd like to go to the intense joy part. Salutation to the great preceptor, bearing the bliss of Brahma, happiness supreme, wearing the image of wisdom beyond the dispute of any qualities, free as the limitless sky, knower of all there is to be known, thou perennial, taintless one, witness of all happenings, beyond all conceptions, boundaries, uncolored by good, bad, and active qualities, my ever-awake preceptor, I bow to thee. In thinking about Palm Sunday, we do have Lisa and David's song, and in that time, a long time ago, what, 2,000 years ago today, Jesus was coming into an environment of joy and everyone welcoming him, but he knew that Friday was just around the corner, and he was aware of that because he was totally aware. I have to tell a story on myself. I was a little Irish Catholic boy, and in kindergarten, I was kind of old enough to catch up with the liturgy and reading about the gospel and stuff. And Palm Sunday is a great day for little Catholic boys because everybody gets a palm. And you go to church, and they give out palms, and they read about Jesus coming in, and it is a big-time celebration. So when I was about 5 years old, I went through that, and I read, kept up with the week. And about Wednesday, they started talking about Spy Wednesday and Judas. And that didn't sound right. Then comes Holy Thursday. The guru's having dinner with the disciples. I like this. This is really good. And then things go downhill. And so I hear about the trial and the torture and the crucifix and Pontius Pilate trying to get off the hook and all these things. And then Jesus died. And as a little kid, I'm like, this is not right. And then Easter Sunday, and everything's good again. So I'm happy. So a year later, I'm in first grade, and the story comes around again. Palm Sunday, I'm good with this. This is great. But then I'm kind of wondering, maybe this year it's going to play out a little better. You know? I mean, there's a lot of things. This doesn't have to happen every year because the story's new. I'm in first grade now. Things could be better. So we go along, and Holy Thursday's good. We're having dinner, and then it starts to happen again. And as a little kid, I'm kind of going, well, maybe Judas decides not to do it this year. He tries to not betray him. You know, maybe we get to the trial, maybe Nicodemus sort of stands up and puts out a little better energy, you know? And there's a lot of things could go right in this story. And I'm, as a little kid, I'm thinking, come on, let's, and it doesn't happen. It goes right through again. And I'm not happy, you know? But then Easter comes and it's all over. So it's good. And we're back there. So about the third year, second grade, I'm rooting. And by this time, I've composed a lot of alternative endings, you know, to this. Now, for one thing, there's the question, Jesus, you're up on the cross. Why don't you come down off that cross? I'm like, why doesn't he? That would be totally cool. He just jumps down off the cross and goes, da-da, and we have Easter Sunday on Friday. I'm all for it, you know. It doesn't happen. So by that time, I don't know what the, you know, your child psychologists understand this, but at that point I realized it was a history story and we don't get to rewrite it, and I wasn't happy. But think of my amazement and surprise when I become a disciple of Paramahansa Yogananda, and he doesn't give a lot of energy to the torture part. He's not into that. You know, Yogananda was emphasized the positive aspects of this story and the deeper story. And of course, Master's coming into Apara Yuga, and Christ is living in Kali Yuga. So the Kali Yuga energy, and as the song says, just the mix of human destiny, the karma of the times, dictated what happened, when it happened, then. But Paramahansa Yogananda came in Dwapara Yuga, not in Kali Yuga. And he didn't give a lot of energy to the passion and the crucifixion and things. The points that Yogananda made that were most important from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, of course, Palm Sunday, which is good. We should be worshiping God. We should be singing Hosanna. We should be singing Hare Krishna. We should be singing to God every day and worshiping God. This is very good. And the Last Supper, when Christ gives his sacrament, gives his blessing in terms of the energy, the bread and the wine, the consciousness of God represented by the bread, the energy of God represented by the wine, very much in favor of that. But Master doesn't talk a lot or give a lot of emphasis to the suffering, because in Dwapara Yuga, we don't need that. We're moving forward into the reality that we are a part of God, that we are the children of God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We all come in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is Om. The name of the Lord is Ananda, Sat Chit Ananda. We all come in the name of God. So Master's emphasis was, he called the greatest miracle of the Easter week was Jesus on the cross saying, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." He goes to the Christ consciousness and the place where Christ was. And as Christ is riding in on Palm Sunday, yes, he's conscious of the undertone, but he's Christ conscious. And like Swamiji talking about how you can feel love for everyone, Christ loves every one of those people. They're cheering. They're praising God. That's a good thing. He can enjoy that. And later on, we'll see. Master emphasized that we have to learn to forgive others and just understand it's Maya, it's duality. It is utterly a story of duality. But the resurrection is the conclusion. So at both ends of the week, at Palm Sunday and Easter, we're in the light. We're conscious. We're behaving correctly. In the middle, there's a dip. And we go down and we make mistakes. And yes, we make mistakes. But we need to learn to forgive. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is what Master pointed to in this Passion Week. Of course, the other points of Christ's teachings are very important too. Father, not my will, but thine be done. I had to learn that in kindergarten, that this was a story that somebody else wrote. I didn't get to rewrite it. But whatever the divine will is, to accept that, to be a part of that, but then to learn to forgive. And, of course, Jesus' last statement, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Everything. I give everything to you. Where I'm part of God, and then the resurrection. And that is what we have to practice, is the resurrection and the joy. Master summed up he finished his poem Samadhi with a tiny bubble of laughter, I am become the sea of mirth itself. He didn't get into the passion and the dying and the crucifixion and all the gory details of that. I didn't want that as a 5-year-old, because I didn't know anyone that behaved that way. I hadn't seen evil at the age of 5 and 6 and 7. We run into it later in life, and we get plenty of it. But enough of that. The reality is that we are a part of God. So when we celebrate Palm Sunday, we should celebrate it with the beautiful singing and the chanting of God's name, but we should realize that we remain there throughout the week. We are the children of God, and we should praise him and see him everywhere and see him in our work and see him in these beautiful oak trees that are just opening right now, every one a miracle in itself, and our little daffodils and tulips and all the flowers and all the joy that's around us. Yes, see him there and praise him and thank him. But realize too that you are riding that little donkey with Jesus, that the world on the outside is alternating for you and against you, good and bad. That's the Maya part. Jesus just stayed in the center. He just watched it. He's smiling. It's beautiful. And then on Easter Sunday, it's beautiful. And in between, even when he's being arrested, Peter cuts off the ear of one of the guys. Jesus heals it, but they arrest him anyway. I mean, how are you going to understand that? It doesn't make any sense. As a little kid, I was totally befuddled by the fact that he just fixed the guy's ear and you're still going to arrest him? That doesn't make any sense. And when I found out Master didn't think it make any sense, I thought, this is very good. This is the reality, is that we're children of God. We're one with Christ. We have that ability to give everything to God. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. You see in Swamiji, when he talks, Swamiji gave a satsang this Thursday, and you can see that he's just looking at everything. Some of the parts of our life have been easy, some have not been so easy. Some have been good, some have been bad, but Master's blessings have never waned. Christ's consciousness is never eclipsed by the evil of the day or the darkness of Friday afternoon. There's a great amount of talk in the modern Christian era about the blood of Christ. But I'd like to point out that he only bled on Friday till about 3 o'clock. And that was the end of that. It's no big deal from the point of view of the Masters. It just happened. It's just part of Kali Yuga. And the reality, the lasting reality, is the resurrection. The lasting reality is spirit, is the ultimate power. And each one of us have to accept and understand our own divinity. We have to focus on that. That's what Master gave us. He said, meditate on the soul. Meditate on good health. Meditate on wellness. Meditate on your own freedom. You be the resurrected Christ. Roll away that tomb of bad habits and all that. That all goes. And stay constantly in that Christ consciousness through Palm Sunday, through satsang with the guru, dinner with the guru, sacrament with the guru, and then through Sunday. Every day, just live in that consciousness. We have to erase that idea of sinner. Master said the greatest sin is to call yourself a sinner. He just didn't want anything to do with it. One of his other quotes that I think has to have a tongue-in-cheek component is Master used to say, Jesus Christ was crucified once, but his teachings have been crucified many times since then. I mean, he's got to have the avatar tongue and the avatar cheek with that one, doesn't he? I mean, he's got that sense of, gosh, you guys, you got it all wrong. You got the whole emphasis on the suffering and the guilt. And what does that do? It separates us from God. Oh, I wouldn't be worthy to be praised. Oh, I couldn't be a part of God. Yes, you're a part of God. Roll away that stone. Live in light. Always meditate. But meditate on the beauty and the light of God within you. And practice this wonderful teaching of Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Ananda's had enemies. We just pray for them. People don't understand us. We understand that they don't understand. It's okay. Let it go. But also with yourself. Forgive yourself. So you made a mistake. So you goofed up terribly a long time ago or yesterday. You've got to let it go. If you hold on to it, Swami Kriyananda points out, it gives you every justification to sin again. Because you're a sinner, so you can do it again and again. It's all good. It's not all good. Get rid of it. You've got to live in light. You've got to praise that Christ within you and honor it. And let it be your reality. Ride that donkey with Jesus. And if everybody's for you, we're all for you. We're all for each other. The Masters are all for you. They're not against you. They don't judge you. Remember when Master went off and he came back to the ashram, he was supposed to be there. He goofed around for a couple of years and he came back and Sri Teshwar says, we're cooking dinner. Got some guests. You want to get the pot? And Master goes, Sri Teshwar, aren't you mad at me? He said, I'm never disappointed. I don't have any expectations of others. It's just, you did what you did and now we're back together. So let's cook some dinner. We have some guests coming. That's the reality. Live in that joy. Practice that joy. Forgive yourself. Let it go. The coin of man's redemption was pain and suffering. Now, calm acceptance and joy. That's the teachings that Master gave us. Don't emphasize what the bad part is. There's plenty of bad, but if you look for it, you'll always see it, and you can focus on it. It's not for us. It's not Kali Yuga anymore. It's time to live in light. It's time to live in joy and resurrect ourselves and live in that joy. Chant all the time. Chant all week. Pray to God. Sing Hosanna. I don't even know what Hosanna means, but I'm sure it's good. It's like Hare Krishna. That's what it is. It's Om Guru. Chant. Feel God's presence. See all this beauty, all this joy. It's all God. Live in that. and everything will take care of itself. Everything will move forward. And you will realize that, like Christ, you're a divine being. Swami often points out, Jesus did not come to show us how great he was. He came to show us how great we could be if we focus on that. We've got to focus on that. We've got to celebrate Palm Sunday every day. God bless you all.